Well, good evening, everyone. It's a joy to be with you this evening. It's good to hear you singing so well. Quite unfamiliar hymn to me, to be honest with you, but I enjoyed the singing very much this evening. Now, I have one verse, really one sentence to read from the Bible tonight. We always read the Bible, the Word of God, because it is what we preach is not of ourselves, it is not of our own imagination. What we're preaching tonight is from God's Word. So if you have a Bible and want to turn to Psalm chapter 32, if you don't have a Bible, I will try and read as clearly and plainly as I can. Psalm chapter 32, please, and verse 1 is upon my heart to read and speak about this evening. Psalm 32 and verse 1, please. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed or happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And we do know that God always blesses his word to us when we read it. I've been thinking a lot over recent days about the source of true happiness. I spoke to my neighbour yesterday morning. He had just arrived back from somewhere in the Canary Islands. He seems to go there over Christmas and New Year for all the time that I've known him. And I've known him for about 15 years. He always goes away for Christmas and New Year, and he comes back looking rather healthy, to be honest with you. And I said to him the other day there, yesterday, I said to him, nice to see you, Jim. Happy New Year. And he looked round about and he says, what's happy about it? What's happy? I think he was a bit miserable to be back down to earth after his fortnight holiday. And it got me thinking, you know, we've over recent days we've said, I'm sure, to a few people, a Happy New Year, and we've probably said to other Christians on the first of the year, a good new year, the Lord's blessing to you. And really, when you think about it, what is the source of true happiness? Because really, happiness, as we come to God's Word, is defined in a right relationship with God. And as we look at this verse, among other verses that we could have read tonight, but we read this verse from God's Word, from a man called David, a great servant of God. He had come to understand in his own life that the true source of happiness was to be forgiven. Happiness is to be forgiven. And I was at the Sunday school in Whitburn today, and I'm sure the boys and girls, as I'm looking down at you, have seen you at the Sunday school in this hall earlier today. And the very first chorus that we sung in the Sunday school today was this. I'll not sing it to you, but I will quote it. Happiness is to know the Saviour, living a life within his favour. So in a very simple way this evening, I want to look at this verse and see from God's Word how we can be truly happy. I'm sure that is what everybody's interested in. Nobody wants to be miserable. Nobody wants to live a nameless, wasted life. I'm sure every single person in Leven, in Methil, in Buckhaven, in Fife, in Whitburn, West Lothian, all through our country that we love and live in, we want to know how to be happy. How to be truly happy. How to be truly satisfied. Now we must distinguish between what is true happiness and mere amusement. There's a lot of amusement in the world. There's a lot of entertainment. But that is not lasting. And that is not truly satisfying. Happiness is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, to know your sins forgiven, to know peace with God, and to be in a right relationship with heaven. And this would be a great year if you got true happiness. In 2014, if you came to know the Lord Jesus right at the start of this year, it would be a happy year. No matter what happened to you, no matter what the future held, if you get saved tonight, If you came into a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you claimed Him as Lord and Savior and came into the family of God through faith this evening and knew God as your Father with your sins forgiven and your future home in heaven secured, it would be the happiest day of your life. Oh, happy day we sing when Jesus washed my sins away. I wonder if I'm speaking to people tonight and you're a little bit disillusioned about life. And in all honesty, you're not happy. You're not happy. I spoke to a friend, went to school with him. I spoke to him just before Christmas there, as I was at my daughter's school. And I said to him, Ian, I said, how are things? How are you getting on? He says, I just wish I had what you have. He says, you're still into that religion thing, as he put it. I says, yes, I'm a Christian. I know the Lord Jesus is my Saviour. He says, I just wish I had what you had. How do you get it, he said. And you know, for the next 10 minutes, we just spoke about the Lord Jesus and spoke about the gospel and told them that there is salvation on offer from a loving God. And that there's a Saviour who's available, who's living, who died on the cross and rose again the third day. And He's a living Saviour. And He said Himself, come unto me, all you that labour, all you that are weary, all you that are disillusioned and heavy laden with sin, and I will give you rest. Happiness is to know the Lord Jesus. Happiness is to be forgiven. Happiness is to be in a right relationship with God. And you know, I'm sure here in this part of Scotland is no different from where I come from and no different from all over the world, particularly the Western world. If you had to do a survey of what makes people truly happy, I'm pretty sure I would have a good idea, a good guess about what would be number one, top of the list. That perhaps money and possessions would be the real source of happiness. And yet I've lived long enough, and I'm sure you who are listening know that money can buy you a lot of things, but money cannot give you true happiness, and money cannot give you contentment. In fact, the Word of God says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 that it is godliness with contentment is great gain, because we brought nothing into the world and it is certain we'll take nothing out of the world. There's a Christian man, an elderly Christian man, who I was amazed one time. He was speaking to the Lord in prayer, and he, in his own quaint, inimitable way, said, Lord, I've never yet seen a tow bar on a hearse. And you know what he was meaning. We brought nothing into the world and we'll carry nothing out of the world. And what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and then lose his own soul? And the Lord Jesus makes it abundantly clear, the Prince of Preachers, the Son of God, the man who is the embodiment of truth, the personification of truth. The Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke chapter 12 that there was a rich man, there was a rich farmer who wanted to really radically change his business because he had a bumper harvest and he was going to pull down his barns, and he had this business plan that was going to bring him lots and lots of success to his business. And there was nothing wrong with his business plan, there was nothing wrong with his financial projections, there was nothing wrong with his hard work or his business acumen, there was nothing wrong with that. The problem was that in all his plans and all his projections, he let God out of the business. And the Word of God is quite clear. It said that man was a fool, because he was never going to see the barns built. He was never going to see the fruit of his labours, because that night he was going to die. He was going out to meet God. Thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. And what shall it matter? What you've left behind, all that will matter is what you've done with the Lord Jesus and what you've done with God. Someone has written that here's the definition of a fool, is a person whose plans end in the grave. And you know, to be truly happy is to know what the future holds. In the sense, we don't know what's round the next corner. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. But every Christian knows where they're heading. And every believer knows that heaven is going to be their eternal home, and that life as we know it is going to end someday, and we're all going to take our journey into eternity, and our soul is either going to be in heaven, a Christian can say that, or in hell, with Christ or without him. And it's a great source of happiness to know that your future is secure, and there's a clear sky between you and God. You see, that's why the major barrier to happiness is to be in a wrong relationship, to be under the burden and the guilt of your sin. You see, our verse very simply says, happy, blessed is the man or the woman whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. So we have to understand, before we can enjoy true happiness, we have to understand what keeps us back from happiness. What is the barrier to blessing? What is the barrier to happiness? What would stop us being truly happy? Well, it's this thing called sin. Transgression. What's that all about? And you come to hear, you read the Bible and you come to hear the gospel, you will be forced to face up to this word sin. This serious three-letter word called sin. But first of all, it says, whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. You see, transgression basically means rebellion. It's a rebellion of a will that refuses to be subject to God's law. What do I mean by that? Well, the God in whom we live and we move and we have our being, the God that holds our breath, my breath, your breath, in his hand, is a God who is infinitely holy. He is just. He is righteous. He is absolute light. There's no darkness in him. He's absolutely transparent. He's the God who cannot lie. He is the sin-hating, righteous-loving God who created us in his own image and put our first parents, Adam and Eve, in a perfect environment in the Garden of Eden. You read about that in the book of Genesis chapter 3. He formed man of the dust of the ground, and he brought Eve from Adam, and they became one. And he gave them a wonderful, wonderful privilege of his presence, his company, his fellowship. Man and woman, Adam and Eve, walked and talked with God in perfect harmony. That's what God wanted. He wanted a man and a woman to be made in his image and to enjoy his company. Amazing grace that God would do that. And in the Garden of Eden, that you read about in Genesis chapter 3, the first book of the Bible, he puts them in a beautiful paradise. And he says you can eat of all these trees. Beautiful fruit, beautiful, beautiful place to live. But there's one tree I'm going to put there in the middle of the garden. It's the tree, of the knowledge of good and evil. And I'm putting a prohibition on that. You can't take it. You can't touch it. You can't eat it. Because the day you take that, you're going to die spiritually and ultimately physically. You'll be shut out of my presence. That is my law. That is my will. That is my word. You don't eat it. Well, we know the story. The boys and girls know the story. Eve was deceived by Satan. She took of the fruit. Adam disobeyed God. What did he do? He transgressed. He openly, with his eyes wide open, rebelled against what God said, took the forbidden fruit, ate of the forbidden fruit. The word of God says, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death is passed upon all, for all have sinned. That was the beginning of the end, as far as man's relationship with God was concerned. One sin, one transgression, and it was a case of man rebelling. Adam knew in his heart of hearts that God's will was true and right, and God's word was absolute, and yet Adam took the fruit. And people say, I remember listening to a radio program, and Richard Dawkins, the world-renowned atheist, tried to mock the Genesis story of our Bible, tried to pour cold water on the words of God in his arrogant atheism. And he said, even if it were true, he said, what are we getting worked up about over a stupid apple? That's what he said. Well, that sin led to someone losing his life in the next chapter. Because sin, rebellion against God, has opened the floodgates to murder, to all sorts of behaviour that God hates, that I'm not going to tonight with the children present. But you know the potential of the heart of man, and so do I. And God says that the heart of man is deceitful, it's wicked, and sin is serious. It's the costliest thing in the universe, next to the precious blood that the Lord Jesus shed at Calvary, that we'll get to very soon. But that's transgression. That is rebellion against God. That is lifting your fist and saying, I know what you've said, God, but I'll go my own way. I'll do my own thing. I'll take my chances. It's utter, rank rebellion against God. Sin is the missing of the mark. God's got a perfect standard. He is holy. And his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is absolutely righteous and holy, the same as God. But everybody else, every single one of us, because we have come down through the nature of Adam, down through the polluted stream of humanity, we're all sinners, whether we like it or not. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all missed the target. We've all fallen short of the standard. And we're all deviating from the right path that God has. And you say, well, what can I do about that? Because we're all affected. All we like sheep have gone astray. There is not a just man or woman upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And you say to me, you've given me some bad news. I remember I was in Wales just last year in September there, and I spoke to an elderly gentleman, a beautiful day, a September day, and I was going down the road giving out invitations to gospel meetings, and I spoke to this gentleman, and I said, sir, I've got some good news for you. And he looked at me, he's sitting in a wheelchair actually outside of his house, and he looked at me, he says, you've got the winning lottery number. He says, that'll be good news. I says, I've got something better than that. I says, it's the gospel that I want to tell you about. He says, I'm not interested. Not in that accent, quite a deep Welsh accent. I'm not interested, he said. I'm quite happy without God. And you know, I didn't say it because I wouldn't want to offend anybody. But I thought it. He was absolutely miserable. Absolutely miserable. And as soon as we go off the subject of the lottery and what he was going to win, I could have told him a story about a girl in Badgate, near where I live, next town, and she won the lottery about 5 years ago, and now she's hopelessly bankrupt. And the poor girl tried to commit suicide last year. That's not the answer to true happiness. That's not the solution to the problem of sin and our right relationship with God. Money can buy you a lot of things, but for example, money can buy you food, but not an appetite. Money can buy you bed, but not a good night's sleep. Money can buy you a lot of amusement that will fill your mind and fill your time, but not fill your soul and satisfy you. No. Here is the answer. Here is the gospel. How can we be truly happy? How can we know our transgressions being forgiven? How can we know our sin covered? Can I say it's through the Lord Jesus Christ? In fact, the Bible says that it's through him is preached unto us the forgiveness of sins. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross when he said himself, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See, let me explain. Although we were sinners, although this world had absolutely and totally gone its own way, all we like sheep have gone astray, every man has turned unto his own way, God still loved us. Despite our sin, despite a deviation from the right path, despite a rebellion, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And although we had done all the sinning, although we had caused all the problems, it was God who took the initiative and sent forth out of heaven his Son, his only begotten Son, the darling of his heart, the love of his life. And God only had one Son. And that Son was sent to be this world's Saviour. That Son was sent to pay the ransom price for sin. He was sent to be wounded for our transgressions. He was sent to die on the cross that we might have life. And the Lord Jesus Christ, after 33 and a half perfect years, after 33 and a half years of service, of healing, of teaching, of preaching, of blessing, after 33 and a half golden years, the Lord Jesus Christ willingly went to the cross at Calvary. And upon the cross at Calvary, while he was being nailed to the cross, and the soldiers were cruelly treating him, and the religious leaders of the day were laughing at him and hating him without a cause, as the Lord Jesus Christ was being nailed to the cross, do you know what he said as he was lifted up? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And throughout those hours upon the cross, the Lord Jesus was still blessing. He was still forgiving, because he says to a man at the side of him, the dying thief, he says to him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." He's saving, he's forgiving. And that is why we can say that there's forgiveness available tonight. Through the Lord Jesus Christ has preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. What does it mean to be forgiven? It means the lifting of a burden, the removal of a barrier. Because of our sin, because of our transgressions, we've got a barrier between us and God. We have got a problem. We do not have access to God because of our darkness and our distance from God because of our sin. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, through his one sacrifice, has removed the barrier for all who will put their faith and trust in his finished work. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross paid a debt he did not owe. It was us who owed the debt that we could not pay. And the Lord Jesus Christ, through his precious blood that he shed on the cross, through the life that he gave there at Calvary, when he cried with a loud voice at the end of his suffering, at the end of the judgment of God against the Lord Jesus Christ in those hours of darkness, at the end of that awful ordeal, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "It is finished." And the work that he did on the cross satisfied totally and absolutely the righteous requirements of God. This is God's way of salvation. We could not save ourselves. We could not work for our salvation. We could not in any way pay off God because of what we had done, our debt, our sin debt against God. We couldn't pay it off ourselves. In fact, this very verse in Psalm 32 verse 1 is quoted by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 4 verses 6 to 8. And Paul adds this, that to have the happiness of your sins forgiven, it's not through works. It's not for our works that God blesses us or forgives us. It's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's trust in the Saviour. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." I want to ask the question that is vital for you to listen to tonight. You have to come to this point. Do I want to be truly happy before God? What is God's way of salvation? It is through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But you have to repent of your sin and place faith in the Lord Jesus. If you never do that, you'll never be happy. You'll always have the barrier between you and God. You'll always have the feeling of guilt. I remember when I got saved, I became a Christian when I was 16. And up until that point, I always just seemed to live in denial that there was a problem. I knew I wasn't right with God. I knew I didn't have my mother's saviour. I knew I didn't have many of my relatives were Christians, and I knew I didn't have what they had. And when I went to meetings, I would just shut off. I would shut off. I would look as if I was listening, but I would just shut off. And then couldn't wait till the meeting was ended so I could get back to normality and put the whole thing to the back of my mind. But every now and again, well, more than that, on a regular basis, it would come to my soul and come to my heart, Blair, you're not right with God. Your sins are keeping you from God's presence. You're not saved. You're not in touch with God. You don't know Jesus Christ as your own Saviour. And can I say, the amazing relief of finally owning up, coming clean, acknowledging before God that I had sinned against Him, and accepting the salvation that He alone had provided through the Lord Jesus. Because if you're going to be truly happy, you have to make a clean start. You have to make a clean break from sin and faith in the Lord Jesus. In fact, David, who wrote this psalm, said himself it was against God and God only had he sinned. He realized he had sinned against God. He takes his place as a guilty sinner, and then he accepts God's solution. He accepts God's salvation. See, what does it mean to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? It means to agree with God about your own personal sin, and then accept the solution that God has provided in the person of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Saviour of the world. So the question tonight is this: happiness, true happiness, is found in a right relationship with God. And the way that God has ordained and planned His great salvation, it is centred in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know the Son, S-O-N, the Son will make you free. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you know God. If you come to the Lord Jesus and accept Him and receive Him, you receive everything that God wants you to have. Christianity is all about a living, vital relationship with a person, a true person, a true Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins upon the cross, who was buried and then rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We're not preaching to you some kind of dead martyr. We're revealing from the Word of God a living Saviour who can be trusted, who can be relied upon, who not only saves but satisfies. That is the true meaning of happiness. And the credit card, the millionaire's credit card, can't buy that. I've been reading recently about a man called Alexander the Great. Maybe you at school you've come across him. But if you read it actually in the book of Zechariah, you do understand that that God used Alexander the Great for His own purposes. Another meeting and another story. But you know, Alexander the Great, in his 30s, he conquered many, many countries. And God used him, in fact, against His people's enemies. And he really just went through his enemies like a hot knife through butter. And in his 30s, after he conquered country after country and empire after empire, with all his power and all his prestige, he was miserable. And he says, where is the true source of happiness? Because there are just so many more countries to conquer. See, the Bible makes it clear that the eye is not satisfied with seeing, and the ear is not filled with hearing, and the world is just not enough to satisfy the soul. But I can tell you from personal experience that Christ is enough. Christ is saved and satisfied. Christ is the one who came from heaven to earth to die on the cross and to rise again to take us from earth to heaven. And if you know the Son, you know life in all its fullness.
in all its abundance, in all its happiness. You know, I don't know what your answer to the question will be, but are you truly happy tonight? Are you truly happy? The Bible says, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that's impossible to be truly happy without Him. Happiness is to be forgiven. Happiness is to be in a right relationship with God. And this can only come about through faith in the Lord Jesus. Repentance, turning away from your sin, acknowledging your transgressions, acknowledging you're in the wrong, God's in the right, and coming to Him and placing faith in His Son, who He's provided to be the Saviour of the world, who died on the cross to righteously deal with sin, to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. The work has been done. You just need to rest on that finished work and acknowledge the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. Thank you for listening. Remember the verse. Blessed, happy is the man or woman whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. I'm so thankful that the work of Jesus Christ at Calvary has covered my sins, and there's no condemnation for me because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed me from all my sins. My guilty past has been removed because of my faith in Christ, not because of who I am, but because of what Christ has done and who Christ is. He's a wonderful Saviour. I recommend Him to you this evening. Shall we pray? Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus. We praise Thee for His amazing love. We thank Thee, O God, that He had done all the suffering on the cross for our sins. He is the just one. Christ hath also once suffered for sins, the just for we the unjust, that He might bring us to God. We have done all the sinning, He did all the suffering, and we love Him for what He has done for us. And those of us who belong to Him and have trusted Him would like this evening just to enthrone Him and worship and adore Him in Thy presence tonight. We pray for those in the weekend who are still at a distance and away from Thee, we pray, O God, tonight they might come home to the Lord Jesus for salvation and true joy. So bless us with Thy presence as we part now, and may nothing be lost that has been said this evening, but everything that has been said might be done for Thy glory, and there might be joy in this very meeting over a sinner repenting. We ask this now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Can we sing in closing, please, just a verse or two of a hymn, 461, 461, please. We'll sing the first two verses, remaining seated, and then the meeting is over. Thank you once again for coming and listening. Again, as Tommy has already said, if there's any questions that you have, I'm in no hurry to go home if I've not made things clear, or if there's a point you want to raise with me, I'm only too happy to wait after the meeting and try and help. But we'll conclude the meeting by singing the first two verses, remaining seated, of 461. When a sinner comes, as a sinner may, there is joy. When he comes to God in the gospel way, there is joy. 461, remaining seated. Thank you.